Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It's lovely to be up here and want to share a word that God has placed in my heart. It's not a word that's always been spoken, and I can't remember when I have heard a word spoken on the fear of the Lord in a long, long time. But this is something that is very personal to me, that is very real to me, and I trust God will take this word and bless you in hearing this word. So I pray that the words of my heart and the meditation of my thoughts would be pleasing unto the Lord and also be received by you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm reading from Psalm 33 and verse 8. Everyone in the world fear the Lord. Let everyone stand in awe of him. Why does the Bible say we have to fear God? But doesn't 2 Timothy 1 and 7 say, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline or sound mind? So on one hand, we hear that we got to fear God, and the other we hear that we don't really have to fear. So does the Bible really contradict itself? What about this verse in 1 John 4 and 18? Love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. So do we love God or do we fear God? It makes it more complicating, doesn't it? So the fear of God is not being terrified or scared of him, but to have a deep respect and reverence for him. When we can fully understand who God is, he's infinite, he's immutable, he's self-sufficient, he is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, he is omniscient, he is perfect in wisdom, he is faithful, God never changes, he is always good, he is just, he is a God of mercy, you know, he is generous, and he's got unconditional love for every one of us. What a God. He is the light of the world. But God is holy. God is holy. So when we hear this, you know, we should stand in awe of him. What a God. What a God. What a God. And this should really cause us to change our attitude, our speech, our behavior, and how we live. He's an awesome God. And guess what? He has chosen you and me to be representatives of God in this world right now. How can we do this? How do we do this? Just knowing the existence of God doesn't change our life. We have to be aware of the presence of God in our life. So let me explain this to you in terms that is good, you know, something that we can understand is that, you know, last weekend was a long weekend, and we had been told in so many ways, television, radio, whatever, that there would be a big police presence on the road. There'll be double demerit points. So you're not supposed to drink and drive. You not have to have, you know, have drugs or something like that. And you can't drive. You cannot use your mobile phone while you're driving, and don't speed. Okay, so we know that. We have heard that a million times, I think, during that time. They keep enforcing that. School holidays, why do they do that? Why does the police want us to be, you know, observing all those rules? Because they want us to be safe, and they want everybody else on the road to be safe. Now, I'm going to give you a scenario, just imagine. So I'm driving. I'm going to the coast. I have booked a holiday bungalow. My family is all coming there, so I'm very happy. Let's just say that Kanak is in Sri Lanka, so I'm driving, otherwise he'd be driving. And so I'm happy. I'm going to the coast. I'm going to see my children, my grandchildren, and I'm excited, and I'm happily driving along. And then somewhere down the track, I see a police car. And I look at my speedometer. Oh, my gosh. I am above the speed limit. My heart is pounding. I start praying, God, Let this policeman not catch me. Let him not see my speed. God, you know, I'm praying. You know, make his eyes blind, Lord. Let him not see me. I start praying in tongues. God, you know, everything. And then I say, God, I'll start bargaining with him. God, I might even, you know, no fine, Father. I'll pay more. I'll give a little bit more in my tithes. Or I might even give money for the offering. You know, I go on. My language has all changed. My heart is pounding. Why? Because I've seen a policeman in front of me. The presence of the policeman. Now, I'm not saying that God is like that. You know, he's not there waiting to pounce on us and saying, oh, you got this wrong and I'm going to punish you. But no, but the awareness that God is there, and he is there because he loves us and he's watching over us and he wants the best for us. So if we live with a healthy fear of God every day of our lives, this will change the way that we think about God and how we talk to him. Because then we will embrace God's heart. We will embrace God's heart. We will love God, what God loves, and hate what God hates. Okay? Is that good? Now, fearing God and loving God go hand in hand. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, we read, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires you to fear him, to live according to his will, to love and worship him with all your heart." That is what God requires of us, to love him and to fear him at the same time. So I'm going to give you 3 points about this fear of God. Okay, the first one is that having the fear of God is not being afraid. Having the fear of God is not being afraid. Now, the example I want to give you is from Moses. Now, Moses took the Israelites out from Egypt and was taking them to the promised land. And they first camp in the desert, in the Sinai desert, where actually Moses had his first encounter with God in the burning bush. So I'm reading into this a little bit. So, you know, don't say it's heresy, but I'm just reading a little bit. So Moses takes them to the desert, and probably he thought, look, God, you know, God, you gave me an encounter. And, you know, and that's how I'm able to go do this journey. So how about, Lord, you just show yourself to these people too. You know, have an account. So, you know, he goes up the mountain. He had access to God. He goes up the Sinai mountain. He meets with God, and he probably had a talk and said, Lord, you know, can you do this for me, please? Anyway, and so God comes, and he says, okay, in 3 days' time, I will come and meet with the people. Ask them to make themselves ready. Now, ask them to purify themselves, you know, be ready. And they will come, you know, ask them to come and come around the mountain, but there are boundaries. Don't step those boundaries. This is where they stay. The people stay there. You have access, but the people stay there. If you cross the boundaries, you know, you'll deal with me. You'll probably die. So, you know, Moses comes, he talks to the people, and he says, this is what God's going to do. He's going to prison himself. And people say, yeah, that's fine. That's good. We'll do. We'll do as you say. So they come around, and they're around there waiting. And then there is a big, huge cloud that comes over the mountain. Huge cloud. And then there's thunder. There's lightning. And then there's this ram's horn being blown, and it's getting louder and louder and louder. And fire. And God presents himself. And there's such a huge noise. The earth trembles. There's an earthquake. And the people, they are stunned. They are stunned. They are fearful. And Moses goes in. They are fearful. They don't know what to do. I think all they remembered is, you know, if you encounter God and if you step, you will die. They forgot the step. They think you'll die. And they are fearful. They are trembling. And Moses goes up the mountain and he comes back. And when he comes back, the people go to Moses and say, look, Moses, this meeting one with one with God, you can do it. We just can't bear that voice. We just can't hear that. You can do it. You tell us and we'll do what you ask us to do. We can't do that. And Moses says to them, you know, in the words in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20, don't be afraid, for God has come in this way to show you his awesome power, to see if there is holy fear in you. Now, John Bevere, talking about the fear of God, says, the person who is scared has something to hide, meaning Adam. And the person who fears God is terrified to be away from God, meaning Moses, because Moses had a task. And if he was going to, you know, fulfill the task that God had given him, he had to get close to God. He didn't want to be away from God. He wanted to be where they were, where God was, so that he could hear what God was asking him to do. So these people, they were afraid of death. See, the fear of death keeps people away from God. If the fear of death is replaced by the fear of God, you will be unstoppable. You will be able to go into his presence instead of being away from him, staying at a distance or staying close. So where do I want to be? Where do you want to be? So we as Christians have a relationship with God. It gives us peace, eternal life, and a hope. And we also have the Holy Spirit in us. But you know, that is not enough. We need wisdom. We need to be, you know, like God, you know, overcoming sin. And we need God's blessing. You know, that's available for us too. So these do not come only because we have a relationship, but also because we have reverence for God. That is also because we reverence him. We stand in awe of God and we revere him. And, you know, it is said that we fear those we revere. You know, God wants us to take his word very seriously. See, if I go to the doctor and the doctor tells me that I've got a sickness, I take it seriously because I trust and respect the doctor's judgment on my condition. And God wants us to take his word seriously. Sometimes we second guess God's word and we say, oh, could it, you know, is it different? Or, you know, could it mean it another way? God wants to raise a church not only of those who have a relationship with him, but also have a reverence for him. We need to revere God. He is an awesome God. He is a holy God. The second point I also want to make is that the fear of God overcomes all other fears. In life, we will experience fear. There is fear everywhere. People live in fear of the future. They have financial difficulties. They live in fear of that. They live in fear of losing their jobs. Some people are living in fear because they are all alone all their life. You know, God does not want to remove our fear or to replace our fear. Not to remove our fear, because that type of fear is inferior. What he wants to do is to replace that fear and give us a good fear. It's a healthy fear. It's a legitimate fear. It's a fear that doesn't paralyze you, or it doesn't cripple you, or it doesn't keep you awake all night. You know, this fear that God gives us wisdom, and that hatred for sin, and a fear that brings God's blessing in your life. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, and can't kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul." It's time to put fear in its place. Fear God and not men. Fear God and not men. You know, Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge. The beginning of knowledge, knowing God, knowledge of God, knowing God intimately. If we are going to be effective in bringing the kingdom of God to people, we must know God intimately. See, Jesus had a very close walk with God. He knew where he was going. He knew who was going to meet. He knew what to say. You know, it's mind-boggling, some of the answers that Jesus had for people. He knew exactly, you know, where they were at, and, you know, how to give the right words to give them life and hope. He knew that because he was in close communion with God. And he wants us to have that same understanding. He wants to have that same understanding. And Isaiah, when he prophesied about Jesus and that Jesus was coming, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And he says, "He will delight in them." Jesus delighted in it. Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord, and that is why he was able to move in such power, you know, in all these attributes of Jesus, you know. And we need to understand that. And what God wants us to is to listen to God. We obey God. We obey God immediately. We obey God when it makes no sense. We obey God even when it hurts. We obey God when we see no benefit for ourselves. And we obey God to the end. The example I have is the example of Abraham and Isaac. You know, God promised Abraham a son, and he said there will be descendants, your descendants, as numerous as the stars in the, you know, the sand in the sea. He promised that to Abraham. But Abraham had to wait 25 years before he had a son. And then it was good. Oh, God's promise has come through, and was happy, and the child grew. And then one day, God says to him, sacrifice your son. And you know, you read the Bible, and he says the next day, he takes Isaac and he walks a three-day journey to take him to be sacrificed. Now that 3 days is enough to have every argument with God and say, God, did you get it right? Maybe you made a mistake. Remember, you said descendants, not one. You know, skies, stars, sand, sea. God, did you get it wrong? Or he could have turned back and, you know, justified himself. Really, God, I think, you know, I'm okay. Because I understood you right. You said you were going to give me descendants. Why now? You know, but no. He just kept walking. Did it hurt him? Absolutely. Imagine a father. Did it hurt him taking his son? Did it make any sense? No. That was, you know, he couldn't find. What sense does this make? But he went. He went almost to completion, because the moment he raised his hand with his knife, and the angel of the Lord said, stop, Abraham. Now I know that you fear God. Obedience. Obedience. And that's why Abraham is called a friend of God. Today we sing, I'm a friend of God, and that's good. But do we revere God? Do we revere God? See, will we be like Abraham? Can we go to the end? Overemphasis on the love of God and the grace of God, without really understanding who God is, allows us to kind of use God. It produces a lifestyle that says, anything goes. Anything goes. I will excuse anything. But God's grace is not an excuse to do what I want. God is love, absolutely. But he is holy, and we fear him. You know, it's not easy. There will be a wrestling. There will be a wrestling when we fear God and we want to move from relationship to reverence. It is a battle. You know, it is a thing. You know, because, you know, we want to do our own thing sometimes. But because we do not want to hurt God, we don't want to hurt God's heart, we love what he loves. And also hate what he hates. You know, that is who God is. The fear of God will also get you through life when life is not fair. How many of us know that, you know, sometimes life is not fair? We go through things and we say, why God? Why me? You know, why God? Why me? But the example I have is of Joseph. You know, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He was betrayed. And then Potiphar's wife lied about him. And then he was thrown into prison, and he was in that dungeon. You know, what was fair about it? He had nothing, done nothing wrong. But through it all, he remained pure. He remained holy. How did he do that? There was no Ten Commandments. There's no Bible. There's no church. There is no pastor. There's no connect group. How did he do all this? How come? And then, you know, his brothers not only hurt him, they sold him. And yet, when he saw them again, you know, he found forgiveness in his heart. And he wanted to bless them. He wanted to do good for them. Amazing. How come? He was never taught about forgiveness. He had never learned about forgiveness. He didn't go to a ministry where he was able to deal with his inner healing and, you know, being delivered and, you know, why he was rejected, why he was betrayed, why he was hurt and why their life was unjust. You know, none of those counseling sessions, nothing. How did he do it? How can someone whose life has been messed up for 30, 40 years as a young lad and yet find forgiveness in his heart? And then, you know, there again, you know, this is my paraphrase. There is a word in Genesis chapter 42 and 18. It says, on the third day, Joseph said to his brothers, do what I say and live, because I fear God. I fear God. You know, that is what kept him. That is what kept him. There was nothing else but a reverence for God. A reverence for God. He knew what an awesome God God was. There was a dream that God gave him. And he knew that was that dream was from God. It was not from anybody else. That was God. And he knew how to fear God. How to give reverence to God. And believe and obey God's word. Praise God. Praise God. Today, we have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the church, we know the power of the cross. Oh, that we will fear God. We will have a reverence for him. That we will worship him. We will worship him. God, you are God. We are mighty. And you chose each one of us, God. We are precious in your sight. We want to honor you, God. Help us, God. Help us. Help us, God. Help us. I said that the fear that God puts in our heart gives us wisdom. That it gives us a hatred for sin and it also brings blessing. So there are, the third point I want to make is that there are the benefits of the fear of the Lord. There are some benefits. There are not some, there are many if you go through. I've just listed a few and I'm looking at my time. Time's running. So Psalm 25 and verse 14. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him. Well, you want to be a friend of God? Fear him. Yeah? And then, as I've already mentioned, fear of the Lord, Proverbs chapter 1 and 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Genesis 22 and 12, again, reading about Abraham, we read this. Lay down the knife, the angel said. Do not hurt the boy in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld even your beloved son from me. Just want to speak a little bit into that. He didn't withhold his beloved son, the only son, from God. What do I withhold from God? What do you withhold from God? Your time, your energy, your resources. You know, if I withhold all that from God, it's an indication that I don't really fear God. In other words, what I'm saying is, what giftings God has given you. Whatever he's given you, use it for the benefit of his kingdom and his house. And again in Genesis 18 and 17, God says, should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asked. You know, there will be things that God reveals to you that only you know. And you know that you know that you know because God has revealed that to you. Amen. So this is part of some of the benefits. You know, there are others. I won't read all the verses. You know, you will know that, you know, God has compassion on those who fear him. He will show mercy to you and your children when you fear him. And if you fear the Lord, he will take pleasure in you. The Bible says he delights in you. He delights in you. The greatest man who had the wisdom that nobody else in this world will ever have is King Solomon. No, he began with the fear of the Lord. He said, God, you have given me this task. How can I do this? unless you show me how. I need your wisdom. And God was so pleased with his request that not only did he get wisdom, but he got everything else. Wealth, fame, anything and everything that goes with prestige, you know, everything that he wanted. He got everything. But the only thing that happened was, you know, his love for women took him away from the fear of God. He took him right away. And we read his writings in Ecclesiastes where he talks about everything is done and he says everything is vanity. It's all in vain. It's vanity. It's vanity. But he comes to the end of his life and he realizes, no, no. He realizes I had come far away from the fear of God. And therefore in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 he says, here is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. For this is the duty of every person. Fear God and obey his every commands. So Solomon did not have the fear of God at one stage. But thank God, you know, at the end I believe that he understood that. Now Lucifer and his angels, they led worship in the very presence of God. And yet, he did not fear God. Adam and Eve, they walked with God. They were in the presence of God. And they did not fear God. You know, Jesus said that the road to life is narrow. It's a narrow road. And I imagine that if I fall this way or the other way, that there is a ditch. And, you know, as people and as a church, legalism is something that we have gone through. You know, legalism is a ditch. And thank God we, as churches, we have come far away from being legalistic. But unfortunately, we have come so far away that anything goes. That anything goes. Almost to the point of lawlessness. And God wants us to have a fear that will keep us on that straight and narrow. Yeah. A healthy Christian life is based on our love for God and our fear of God. And when we operate on these two virtues, we come to an intimate relationship with God. And that is a safe place. It's a secure place. It's a place of peace. And it is where that you and I need to be. Church, I brought this word with fear and trembling. Because this has been in my heart for many, 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 many years. This is something that I consider a lot in my life. You know, I didn't do it when I was young. I didn't do it even in my early married life. But there was a point in my life that I came to this realization. And that keeps me. That keeps me, the fear of God, a reverence for God, a love for God, obedience for his word. You know, that is the only one. And I am, you know, I'm on my knees before God. You know, I haven't arrived and I need God and I will never arrive. I need to walk on that path. And my prayer is that we will too, you and I will too, that we will all learn to walk on that path. Because that is the safest place for us. We live in a world where things are not going good. It's only going to get worse, as the Bible tells us. It's not me. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. But, you know, things are going to get worse for us. You know, just now Mark alluded to the fact that even Bible is going into schools. Okay? So, you know, we are living in such a world. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware and we want to be those people who will still shine the light of Jesus, walking on that narrow path and doing the will of God and enjoying it. You know, it's not something that you're obligated to do. It's something that you do and the product is joy, the joy of the Lord. That is the product. It is not anything that we don't have to walk in, you know, like with long faces or, you know, like straight jackets or anything like that. Yeah. We enjoy the journey. Yeah. We enjoy the, because it's a journey of love. Yeah. It is a journey of love. Fear of God and the love of God go hand in hand. May we, as his people, do that. May we yield that. So would you bow your heads with me? I don't know if God has spoken to you. This is a personal thing. It is a personal thing. Each one. As I said, this is very personal for me. And I took the courage to share it with you today. May God bless you with this word, and I'll pray. Father God, I just thank you, God. The Lord, you love us so much that you have shown us your ways. Lord, because you're watching over us. And Lord, not only that, oh God, Father, that you have chosen each one of us and you have said, I love you and I have a plan and a purpose, and my plan is for your good and not for evil. And so, Father, there are many people here and I do not know the journey that they are on. You do, oh God. You know some of them are going through difficult times, some unfair situations, some are desperate, oh God, and some also desire for a closer walk with you, God. And Lord, we do not want to be standing at a distance. We want to be like Moses, Lord, drawing near to you. Help us, God. Help us this morning, we pray. Make it real in our lives, oh God. Show us, oh God, the times that, Lord, we compromise or we become distant, oh God. Lord, help us draw near to you. That is our prayer this morning, oh God. Because we want to please you and do what is right in your sight, O God. Because that is the right way. That is the conclusion of the matter, O God. To fear God and to live humbly before you, God. So I pray this blessing upon each one of my brothers and sisters here, O God. That, Lord, you would go with them. That you would lead them and guide them through this week, O God. Lord, even as they think and meditate upon this word, O God. Lord, that they would hear your voice. And they would heed your call. And Lord, that they would just come back onto that straight and narrow path, O God. We will all do it. I include myself, Father God. Keep us, O God. Keep us from everything that is wanting to take us away from you. Lord, we need you. We need you, Father. And we bless your holy name. In Jesus' powerful name I pray. Amen. Amen.